Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill three contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
Listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 74 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, and you can follow us on X at Emerald Flow Show. And if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. And of course, you can find us on all your favorite podcast apps. And if you're feeling generous, you can donate to the show at voicesofwrestling.com/donate. I'm Gerard here with Paul again. We came back quick because, well, I thought there was a bunch of shows this weekend, and then there's going to be a bunch more shows. So might as well stay on top of things instead of doing a marathon of having to review like 8 All Japan shows in Hokkaido all in a row, plus a Cork and Hall and everything like that. So, you know, it makes sense right now anyway.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. Otherwise, the next show would have been like, what? 3 or like it maybe would have broken, because I think the longest one we ever did was like 3 hours on the dot, or even slightly longer than that. So I feel like otherwise we might have broken that one. And also, if we go that long, I think both of us have realized that we both get like really badly brain lagged the more we approach our 3.
Yeah, exactly. But building off of what we talked about last week, we got to start with great again. Paul, Shima is at it again.
Yeah, I am so done. I am so done with him now. Like, I just want this guy to retire now. I'm just like, it's so over. He's so cooked. This whole promotion is cooked. It's one of the dumbest things they've ever done. I get that it's just supposed to be like this little harmless, funny haha thing, but like, it's so fucking stupid.
Well, it's just, you know, in isolation, it would be one thing, but it's just one thing after.
Yeah. So basically what they've done is they've announced, so we already talked about it last week, right? That they're going to bring back Parker Boudreau. God knows why. Okay, I will say that he wasn't as bad as expected in his two matches that he've had. But also again, like, I don't know how much there actually is there. So what they've announced now is one of the partners that he's going to team with on one of his matches back, which they announced at first is just like a shadow silhouette with the name Macy Boudreau, to which people relatively quickly figured out, well, that's just an anagram of Shima, isn't it? And then they just revealed, yeah, no, it is actually just Shima doing a shitty Parker Boudreau cosplay. And that's what, like, on top of that, they're teaming against Hayato Tamura, the fucking champion of the promotion. What the fuck are
and
we doing?
Quiet Storm.
And Quiet Storm.
Who's going to take the pin?
Yes, absolutely. So, like, is this setting up? Because, I mean, but, like, we just did Parker Boudreau versus, like, Hayato Tamura. So, is this Shima challenging for the title then? But, like, while doing a weird-ass comedy gimmick?
I don't know.
What are we doing here?
In the graphic, he's also wearing, like, a shirt that makes it look like he has, like, a bunch of tats like Boudreau.
I actually once brought a tattoo. I once bought a tattoo sleeve for, like, a Halloween costume a few years back, and I bought that in like a like Euro store in Ireland, and that looked better than whatever Shima was wearing there.
Yeah. Okay. To be fair, this is the November 10th show in Osaka at Edeon 2. They're not going back to Edeon 1 anytime soon.
Probably never. Yeah.
But I would just like to point out that this show also has Yu Iizuka versus Chris Rich.
Which, yeah, that is actually a sick match. See, that's the most frustrating part about great, right? Like, it's like, oh yeah, you have like an obviously like pretty decent roster right there, and you use it to do what exactly? Like, it's like, oh yeah, we have all of these like interesting young like Japanese native talent, but let's just push like the big luck foreigner that has like failed in the two biggest promotion on the planet already.
That's funny. There's not much else on the show that I would say. I mean, they got like Chris Weiss coming in, who's now teaming with Kawakami and Brass Knuckles June, which is, you know, really helps that group.
I mean, is Real Zero One just dead? Like, when was the last time they even ran a show?
I was like thinking this a couple days ago, and I go on the Zero One website, and I don't see any planned at all. So I'm like, oh, hey, is Zero One have any dates announced? Well, it turns out that on the Tochigi Pro website, they do. And they're doing the usual New Year's Day Korakuen and everything. But there's nothing, I can't find anything on Real Zero One.
See, because, and that's the weird part, because that's the part of the promotion that has a distribution deal.
I know.
They're supposed to be on Wrestle Universe.
Yep.
So, yeah, this whole thing is still weird.
In case if you were wondering, I believe Tanaka is in the States. Or he was in the States, because he just did shows for House of Glory and Deadlock.
I mean, yeah, you have to make money somehow if your own promotion isn't running. So,
yeah, so, you know, that's what he's up to. And, like, I'd never really seen Chris Weiss work anywhere else until now.
Yeah, I've really only seen him, like, in Noah, basically. Well, obviously, like, some stuff in the UK, but, yeah. It's interesting that this is the promotion that brought him back to Japan.
Yeah.
But, actually, in some more positive news, which is also kind of great related before we move on. We have the announcement for the Evolution show of Shuji Ishikawa versus Yu Iizuka.
Soma Watanabe.
Soma Watanabe, sorry. Yeah, mixed up my young guys. So Soma Watanabe, which, you know, that I think that one has potential to be really fun.
I think so too, but here's my sort of thoughts on it though. Okay, first of all, like, say what you want about great, but it's still bigger than Evolution.
Yes.
You're sending your quote unquote young prospect there to probably lose to Ishikawa. Like, I understand if you have like Soma in a big match, like at the Edeon Arena show where he does the job in there with like Ricochet and like Vikingo. But now you're sending him elsewhere to do jobs in like Shinkiba First Ring.
Which you'd think we would have moved past that stage, but I guess not.
Yeah.
But it still seems to be like it's obvious that they see something with him, but I think as we kind of criticized last week, it's like that their way to build him up still seems to be lose a bunch, which, like, I don't know, like the way Great is booked right now, it seems like if I can make like a comparison to like All Japan, it's basically what Great right now is doing. Instead of pushing Yuma Anzai, they're pushing Cyrus, right? Like they're pushing Parker Boudreaux over like Soma Watanabe, which is like the opposite of what you should be doing.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, that's your great update. I'm gonna watch that. I'm gonna watch at least a couple of matches from that show, though.
Oh yeah.
Now, especially now that we've talked to it. So moving on, before we get into the usual Noah and All Japan, we need to talk about this DDT main event. Paul, were you as infuriated as I was?
Yes. This was so fucking weird.
So Hiroshima challenged Shinya Aoki for the title and for the KOD.
No issues there so far.
Okay, and so they started having their, you know, a pretty good match. I mean, I would say it was trending towards an awesome match, right? Mm-hmm. Like, especially, like, in those last few minutes before the end, you know, when Hiroshima just started unloading those kicks on Aoki. Then, you know, Aoki gets his full Nelson in the cradle, 1407.
Yep.
And I was like, what?
Yeah, that's disappointing. That's a disappointing main event. But okay, it was starting to get cooking, and then they just ended it.
Yeah, and then Shunma came out because he had one of those challenge tokens or whatever the hell they had. And he challenged it, and they had a hardcore match sort of with Lego and going through tables and whatever. And I was just like, it ruined what I thought was going to be an amazing match.
I mean, but then it got worse because I was like, okay, Shunma's coming out and they're doing the hardcore match. I'm like, okay, that's disappointing. I thought like what they were doing with Aoki and Hiroshima was like definitely was more entertained with that and everything. But I was like, okay, I mean, at least maybe, okay, then they're like, they just have Shunma come out when like Aoki is already tired. So they're going to have him win the title, which is stupid because that's WWE booking or whatever. But like, at least you get like the belt on like Shunma as like a young, like, you know, like a new guy or whatever. And you try to see what he can do. But then he lost. So now he looks like a complete geek because he just lost to a guy that just wrestled for 14 minutes. And then he wrestled him in a style that was like beneficial to him, and he still lost anyway. So he just looks like a double geek on top of it.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I thought Aoki was going to be a transitional champion, but I think he's going all the way to Sumo Hall for Ultimate Party.
What are we even going to do as the main event for that then with Shinya Aoki?
I don't know.
Is it going to be Ibushi, or do they already have him booked?
I mean, that's not till December.
Yeah. I mean, you say that, but we're at the end of October, so we're not that far away from it.
No, I know. Yeah, it's December 28th is Ultimate Party in Sumo Halls.
They have 2 months, basically, almost on the date.
Yeah, so we'll see. But I don't know. That sort of like just was like, you know, I have generally enjoyed DDT's main events this year, but that just left a bad taste.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because again, every single time I watch Hiroshima in one of these big matches, I'm like, oh yeah, no, I just always keep underrating how, I always keep forgetting how good Hiroshima actually is. And then it just ended on kind of a wet fart.
Yes. So that's DDT. So we finally move back on to Noah, and we start on October 19th at Yokohama Radiant Hall in front of 239 fans. First off, it was fun. In the first match, Masa Kinemiya defeated Deki Odashima in 7:08 with senton. It was nice to see the Odashima get in there with, you know, a rough guy.
Oh yeah,
around. That was a solid match. And then Muhammad Yone and Shuji Kondo defeated Dr. Wagner Jr. and LJ Cleary in 6:17 with the King Kong Lariat from Kondo on Cleary. There wasn't much there, nor was there
they
much.
They really are like dropping out Cleary though. Yes. Like on this like new tour where he doesn't have a faction.
Yeah, he doesn't have the faction to protect. But is he like, I'm not sure what else I'd do.
Yeah, I don't know.
He doesn't stand out. He's solid enough, but he just
it's like, I think I've talked about this before, right? Because he was kind of in like more than hype, he was like the guy that could talk.
Yeah.
Which was the thing that made him stand out there, because he obviously was like, he's not a bad wrestler, but like compared to the other two, he was definitely a step below those two. But like him being able to talk isn't going to benefit him in Japan.
No, it is certainly not. So then, of course, we have Anthony Green and Glenn O'Dellball defeating Jack Morrison Daga with Yoshitatsu. Other results.
Important.
To say with Yoshitatsu in 7:25 when Morris was disqualified. So this continues.
Yeah, I mean, what even is the, like, I get, okay, Anthony Green and like Jack Morris is the feud. But like, are the Wagner brothers involved as well or not? Like, I'm not quite clear on that yet.
Yeah, I don't.
So this continues. Then Harutoki defeated Yuwan in 11:25 with a front kick. I thought this was a solid match. Mm-hmm. We'll get into this more later, but Paul, they should just sign Harutoki.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like they need bodies, and I don't think he's like bodies. A guy that. Yeah, he's not a guy I think would ever be like a title challenger or anything like that. But like they definitely need like a body on the roster like him.
Yeah, so that was solid. And then Hayata Yohei, Tadasuke, and Yuto Kikuchi defeated Shuhei Taniguchi, Ada Amasaka, and Junta Miyawaki in 8:01 with the horizontal cradle from Hayata on Taniguchi. A lot of this match was just continuing this gimmick with Taniguchi. It looks a little scary now.
Yeah. Oh, no. He is definitely getting closer, but like he doesn't have much time left. I think he's still 5 kilos above where he needs to be. So there's not a lot of time left for him to get there, but like we'll see if he actually does.
Yeah. Manabu Soya, Dragon Bane, and Alpha Wolf defeated Goshi Ozaki at Sushi Kotoge and Hajime Ohara in 15:13. The Dando from Soya on Kotoge. Perfectly good match. Nice little, semi-main event. And then main event was Maru Fujisugira and Uka Sasaki and Kai Fujimura defeating Kaito Kiyomiya, Kenno, Alejandro, and Crystal Ball when Sasaki used the Shining Triangle on Crystal Ball. And again, that was another solid main event. But I'm losing patience with Crystal Ball.
Oh, yeah, no, he's. I have some takes on Crystal Ball later when we get to the Monday Magic show.
Yeah. So we go to the Noah All Rebellion Produce, which was the next day of a doubleheader at Shinagawa Prince Hotel Club X in front of 268 fans. Kaito and Uka Sasaki went to a time limit draw at 15 minutes. That was very solid. They didn't like. You know, it was a 15-minute opening match draw, but, you know, it was well worked, some good mat work.
It was interesting at least that they went to a time limit draw.
Yeah.
You know, because they're clearly trying to, like, save something there, at least.
Gotta heat up Sasaki for his big match on January 1st.
I mean, if he actually, like, I think at some point in 2025, you will get a JHC title shot. And it might be against Kaito.
Yes, definitely. So Kenno defeated Crystal Ball in 8:18 with the PFS. This was nothing.
Yeah, no, this was... If you can't have a good match with Kenno, you know, it's not good.
Yeah. Dragon Bane... Oh, so, spoiler alert, Kai Fujimura is the new member of All Rebellion.
Yeah.
Also.
Once and for all, completely, Bane... and 100% just, like, clarifying that he's not Crystal Ball.
Yes. Dragon Bane and Alpha Wolf defeated Alejandro and Kai Fujimura in 17:03 with the Santa Maria from Bane on Alejandro. Now this was a good match, I thought.
Yeah,
might be the match of the show.
The other thing clarifying that Kai Fujimura is not Crystal Ball, because I remember when like the leading theory was that he is Crystal Ball, we were all like, well, why is he so shit then?
Yeah, well, playing to the gimmick, but still. Yeah. If you're a masked man, you should be a good wrestler. That's probably sort of the gimmick.
Yeah.
Unless you're big.
And fan. Also, if you're teaming with your brother generally, you do better than whatever Cristobal was doing with. Like, yeah, you watch like Alejandro and Kai Fujimura, which I'll be shoot trash and just say they're brothers. Like, they have much more natural chemistry than like Alejandro and Cristobal ever had.
Yeah, for sure. And the main event was, two out of three falls, Kaito Kiyomiya, Kenno, Alejandro, Kai Fujimura, and Crystal Ball defeating Manabu Soya, Masa Kitamiya, Shuji Kondo, Tadasuke, and Hajime Ohara 2-1. Tadasuke beat Ohara in 14:22 with a spinning toe hold. Fujimura defeated Ohara in 8:01 with a swan dive elbow attack. Kiyomiya defeated Tadasuke in 9:56 after that with the modified Shining Wizard. I mean, it was fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was good. I still think the semi-main was the best match of the show.
Yeah. No, it went a little bit too long, but yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it was good, but yeah, I fully agree. The semi-main was definitely the match I enjoyed the most, and I hope they continue with that team.
I was going to say the show the day before at Radiant Hall and Snow All Rebellion show, though, on the whole, were just a little sloggy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, they weren't really necessary. Like, there wasn't really a lot of, like, inspired booking on both of those shows.
Yeah. However, I thought things picked up on the second show on the 20th, which is limit four at the Shinagawa Prince Hotel Club X. And it also had more fans.
Yes, that always helps. To be fair, I think they announced the fact that it was an all rebellion show like very shortly before the show actually happened. So I don't think that really helped.
No. So Kai Fujimura defeated Deki Odoshima in 8:30 with a modified butterfly lock. Very solid match. I guess the guy like Fujimura, also Odoshima, gets a little more than he would against Taylor Masa Kitamiya. So the Reeve Mask and Yuki Ino defeated Black Metsu Ray and Tomomitsu Matsunaga in 12:23 with a jackknife hold from the Reeve Mask on Metsu Ray. I thought this was going to be a gimmicky comedy match, but it was actually pretty solid.
Yeah, no, I also like when I saw like who was in this match, I was like, okay, get ready for some comedy. Probably going to be like 5 minutes or whatever, and then I was like, no, this is actually just a really solid, good undercard match. And oh yeah, somebody asked us specifically to talk about Yuki Ino, so I feel like this might be a good moment to do it then. Yeah, Yuki Ino has had pretty good.
He's had a very good 2024. Absolutely.
Yeah. And again, he showed it here. Like, I think he was the best guy in the match as well. Like, yeah. Just doing really good power spots and everything. Like, I don't know if he'll ever be a main eventer, but no. Like, at but the very worst, you know. Yeah, exactly. Like, I think if I have a good comparison, because I mean, it's also kind of like because of his body type, I guess, maybe. Like he strikes me as a guy like where his career will ultimately be like comparable to like a Masaki Tamiya. Or like a Tomohiro Ishii, right? Like where it's probably never going to win that top belt, but he's going to have a very solid, very long career in the promotion where he will be pushed at least to a certain degree at the very least.
Well, you know, it wasn't that long ago that I absolutely...
Oh, yes. So... Less than a year ago, because he only turned in January. I think I had to remind myself when he actually turned, and that was in January.
Yeah, well, I was happy to see Pheromones break up. Yeah. Also, in some ways, that sort of signaled a sort of rebound for was sort of floundering, I thought.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. Because that was just like, they were just like hanging like a dark shadow over the promotion. And then once they were gone, it was like, okay, now we can actually like, two stories that don't involve them, because it seemed like they had to be shoehorned into everything beforehand.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and also like the tag title run with Endo.
Yeah. Also great. No, that was great. Yeah. Like if the Saitos weren't doing what they're doing this year, I would consider them for tag team of the year, but I'd probably still put them in my top three. Like top one is the Saitos, but like otherwise they're like, yeah, there's not a lot. Otherwise, yeah.
If you step back and look at all of wrestling, there's not a lot of tag teams going on. AEW is falling apart because the Bucks are just doing whatever. WWE is WWE. New Japan has had such illustrious tag team champions as Chase Owens and Kenta.
I mean, New Japan has never been a tag team promotion, let's be real.
It is shocking. Well, yeah, but it got considerably worse once again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, even by their standards, this was a down year. No, I agree.
And it is just shocking that Ghetto, who made his name as a tag team wrestler,
it's absolutely terrible. Always...
Well, I mean, the first couple of years of Ghetto with the hangover of like, was it Bad Intentions? Was that Anderson?
And
not Gallows, but Bernard, Giant Bernard.
Yeah, Giant Bernard. Yeah,
yeah, that was like
for some reason I wanted to say Lord Tenzan, but no, it was Lord Tensai was his name in WWE.
Yes. So. You know, that was the sort of the first like hangover, like transitional era. And so it was fine. But then it just slowly just got worse and worse over time.
Yeah, you at least had like Killer Elite Squad. Like that was still solid. And then now, he just never replenished that.
Now, if they wanted to, New Japan could have like Bishamon be the tag team, choose not the book on that way.
They never meet Bishamon. Okay, I like Bishamon. But like, I'm still angry that New Japan never gave me the tag team that I really badly wanted. And he just never ever teamed them together regularly, which is Hiroki Goto and Tomohiro Ishii.
Yes.
Which, like, that is actual criminal.
Did they have Ishii team with Yano?
Yeah. And then, like, that's actually why I, like, it took me a while to come around on Bishamon, because I was like, okay, I guess maybe they're okay, but that's not the team I actually want. And then finally I had to admit, it's like, no, okay, they are actually good, but.
No, they could be in the conversation of tag team of the year, no question. and probably win.
Oh yeah, they don't have any opponents though.
If they were pushed competently and given
that too, and if they had like anybody to like feud with that wasn't like House of Torture.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so we go back from our brief discussion of tag teams to speaking of great tag team wrestlers this year, Tetsuya Endo and Yuki Okada defeated Muhammad Yone and Kohei Kinoshita in 14:46 with the Burning Star Press from Endo on Kinoshita. Again, like the previous match, good, solid tag team wrestling.
Yeah, I like love the way they like portrayed Naya in this match as well. It's just this like undefeatable beast, basically.
And then Kazuyuki Fujita and Shuji Ishikawa to a 20-minute draw. Now look, we were on the mat a bit doing some holds, but when they wanted to like just kick the shit out of each other, that was great.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I love that.
And on the whole, I really did enjoy this match.
No, I agree. I also went into it. I was like, okay, let this can really go two ways, right? This could either be like really boring and then Fujita wins, or he loses on like a banana peel. I'm almost happy that they went with the time limit draw. But you know, it was fine. And yeah, no, when they were like just, I really enjoy Fujita when he is actually doing like what he was doing here for a good chunk, which is just brawl. Like I think he's absolutely interminably boring when he does mat work. But when he's brawling, I think he's still pretty good because he's just very good at, I mean, that's what he made his name as, like in MMA, which was just a guy that got hit in the head a lot. So I don't know why he isn't leaning into that while wrestling, but he did it here a lot more and I did enjoy that. And it's also something that Shuji Ishikawa is still very good at too.
Yeah, for sure. And then at Sushi Kotogen, Hajime O'Hara defeated Koji Iwamoto and Takumi Sato in 18:14 with the kill switch from Kotoge on Sato. Again, really good. Do you think Iwamoto wants to be a weekend warrior because Noah could use...
Oh yeah, no. It's my take was like I'm always happy to see Iwamoto. I don't know. Yeah, it very much seems like he is actually genuine about being a weekend warrior, as opposed to somebody else that recently made the transition the other way that also said he was gonna be a weekend warrior and now he's just a regular in All Japan.
Yoshioka?
Yeah, where it was like, oh yeah, no, I want to like do something outside of wrestling, and now he's just working every All Japan show instead.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at Iwamoto's recent thing. He's working his, so he seems to be, he's Tenryu Project regular. And then he still will do the occasional Sportiva Wednesday Curry Pro Wrestling, which is their traditional thing in Nagoya that they've done for a long time.
I actually need to go to Nagoya next time.
And then he's doing Niigata Pro, like pretty.
So he is actually traveling quite a bit then.
Yeah, but that's sort of all. Yeah,
I mean, not a lot of travel, but like,
yeah,
to, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly where he lives. If he just lives like basically halfway between like Niigata and Nagoya, I guess it's actually pretty reasonable drive. But still,
and Niigata Pro is pretty runs at least like most months like one or two shows a month. So that's a regular gig. But yeah, I mean, he still does seem to be mostly a weekend warrior.
I mean, I guess maybe it also depends how much money Noah is offering him. And I think maybe the other thing that might be important for Iwamoto is, if you remember, like one of the reasons why he originally left All Japan was because they didn't want to push him as a heavyweight. So it might also be that he's only willing to return to a full-time schedule if somebody's willing to push him as a heavyweight, which I
For sure. No,
I mean, I guess he's even in Noah, he would be borderline. That's the thing.
Yeah. But again, I mean, a very, very good match. Iwamoto was still a great wrestler and everything like that.
Oh yeah. And also, as I have to state every single time he pops up, absolute banger of a theme.
Yes. And then in the semi-main event, Akitoshi Saito limit break last match. Akitoshi Saito and Jun Akiyama defeated Satoshi Kojima and Yuya Wada in 15:56 with the Sickle of Death from Saito on Owada. This was very good as well. I loved, I just think Owada has just to stand out. And this was like the perfect opportunity for him in there with all of those veterans who were just kicking the shit out of him.
Yeah. No, it definitely is noticeable that he was put in this match, right? Because they could have put in like somebody else in there to take the pin, but they put him in there to take the pin as a young boy. So I do think they also see something in him. And I hope that they kind of expedite his like young boy status. And maybe like something like this is a bit of an indicator that maybe they will. We'll see. I mean, it's something we've been ranting for a while now, where like Noah just takes way too long to like move these people up.
They sort of expedited Taishi Ozawa by Noah standards.
Oh yeah, no, they absolutely did, because and him, his excursion also being as short as it was, and then him getting injured immediately, which
is like,
yeah, just terrible timing. We'll see. Hopefully, he can come back from that really quickly. Another thing actually that I'm curious about is like, it seems like Akitoshi Saito is like going to win like every single match until his retirement match. I mean, that's definitely what it feels like, right?
That's a good way of doing it. I don't have any issue with that.
But is that like the longest win streak of his career?
Certainly for many years.
Yeah.
He was like, well, it's funny because like, I remember when Saito joined at Noah and people didn't think much of him. It was just like, oh, he's just like some like,
he was just a New Japan cast off, basically, at that point.
Yeah, Heisei Ishigun jobber sort of thing, right? I could never say that he was a great worker, but damn, he tried. And he had some really great tag team matches with when he was teaming with Akiyama or even Bison Smith a little later on in, like, you know, the late aughts, anything like that. And, you know, obviously, he became a Noah favorite. And then, obviously, the whole Misawa death thing, you know, and everything like that. So he is sort of beloved in the company and everything like that. So I don't have an issue with that.
Oh, yeah, no, like give him like a nice little thing on his way out as well. And it's not like he's getting pins over like Kenno or Kaito or anything like that. Yeah, I just thought it was interesting where like he just keeps winning these matches.
And then main event for the World 01 World Heavyweight Championship, Go Shiozaki defeated Harutoki in 2049 with the Strong Arm Lariat. Again, like I said, maybe I should have waited to talk about Sign Harutoki until I saw this match. But again, like, look, this was a very solid match. I went 3 3/4 on it. You know, nice arm work. He worked over Go's arm. They had a nice little, you know, finishing stretch with some near falls and everything. He is a nice little worker. This was a good main event and a show that I actually quite enjoyed, especially compared to the show earlier that day and the day before, which was dry. And Limit Break continues to deliver more than like the average Noah spot show by any means.
Oh, yes. No, I mean, I think it really helps that they have a bit more of a varied roster. Like, I think them being able to bring in the Burning guys just really, really like, or DDT guys in general really helps.
Yeah. And they got these guys.
Yeah. They bring on all of the indie guys. Like, I think just in general, these shows really seem to be scouting shows for Noah's. I mean, talking about like, right, Sign Harutoki. I don't think that's even that unlikely, like, especially because they gave him that spot here and everything.
Yeah.
Like, I do think that it feels like that scouting guys on these shows, basically.
Yes. So he's from Dotonbori Pro, and so is Yuto Kikuchi. So I think it's like what they did with Osaka Pro all those years. They just took like half the roster.
Yes. Which is funny because, again,
and then all Japan
Dotonbori Pro formed as in like, as a spin-off from Osaka Pro dying, and it does not seem that they've learned a lesson.
No.
But then again, I also can't fault the guys for being like, well, I could be in Dotonbori Pro or like work Noah, which is just, as much as we like to joke about Noah's attendance sometimes, it's still a promotion that is just infinitely larger than Dotonbori Pro.
Well, speaking of attendances, Paul, did you listen to Jay on the recent episode of Open the Voice Gate?
I listened to the excerpt that was posted on the YouTube specifically about the tenants.
Yes.
So I did listen to that.
Yeah, so you should all go listen to that.
Yeah, no, you absolutely should, because I think it does reframe some things like in a really good way, and there was just a discussion being had, right, about like all Japan attendances as well. When it's like, again, this isn't as straightforward as you think it is. Or somebody was asking, actually, it's like, oh, where does Cage Match get their attendance numbers from? To which, as someone that used to do Cage Match, I told him, well, I just like took it from the company website, because I'm not going to like call up the venue in a language I don't speak. So,
Yeah, so listen to that. Well, it's funny because I was doing some Hall of Fame research and I was playing around on like newspapers.com, and I did not. And I was looking at shows in the 60s and 70s, Now, of course, not every, you know, older shows back then have attendances, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, like, the attendances that I had on Cage Match were actually matched up with what I found in the, from, like, shows.
Yeah, because, like, it, yeah. Cage Match is a purely volunteer-run organization. Like, nobody there gets paid to do this. Like, everybody just is because we're idiots that, like, love doing data entry for tiny Japanese shows. But that also doesn't mean we have, like, a magic source that is better than what is available publicly. Like, it's just, it's what everybody else has available, what has available. And again, whoever did, like, because that's also a separate thing. Like, people doing historical entries generally are, like, kind of separate as well. Mm-hmm. Because again, like, there's a lot of research that has to go into that. And that the person that did those entries probably looked at the same source you were looking at, because, like, there's not that much out there, so you kind of have to go with what is available.
Yeah. And then, so that, from there, we go to Monday Magic Autumn Episode 1 on Wrestle Universe. Shinjuku Face, no attendance announced.
To be fair, that's the norm, though. They've never done that for Monday Magic shows.
That, it looked decent, actually. They do draw to those shows. I think that because they and established the gimmick, does have a certain, not a huge drawing ability, but people will show up to it for sure.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm ever in Japan at the same time as, like, a Monday Magic season, I will absolutely 100% go.
Yeah, for sure. So we start off with Alejandro and Cristobal and versus Juta Miyawaki and Yuo Wada going to a time limit draw. It was actually pretty good, you know, if you sort of blank out Cristobal.
Yeah.
Right. Then Amasuka defeated LJ Cleary in 7:38.
Well, sorry, just real quick, because the important part here as well is the thing that was set up after the match, which is they set up basically for next week's Monday Magic. They set up a rematch of this match, but basically the losing team of that match will then have to go into either a mask versus mask match or a hair versus hair match if it's Junta versus Owada. So we'll either see somebody get their head shaved or we'll see somebody lose their mask. And I have a very strong feeling that Cristobal is losing his mask.
And we're going to find out who Cristobal is.
I've seen some stuff float around that he's Maru Fuji's son.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So I'm curious if that's... like, it's very obvious, like, because if you just look at this, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense for Alejandro to lose his mask. Junta losing his hair to a young boy, it's just like, you might as well retire at that point. And Iwata, as a young boy, losing his hair doesn't mean anything. So really, Cristobal is, like, the only one that makes sense. And I feel like especially with them introducing, like, Kai Fujimura to our rebellion, it definitely feels like a bit of an admittance that this whole Cristobal gimmick isn't working. So I think to me he's the very clear favorite to, like, lose that match.
Makes sense. But would Maru Fuji have his son debut like this?
If he doesn't think he's very good yet, which he isn't.
Yeah, that's true. He's kind of expressive, though. I'll give him that.
Yeah, maybe that improves with, like, not having the mask. You know, that might be the other thing where they're like, okay, maybe we can solve it something a bit more. We can, like, team you with your dad, and then maybe that will work better than whatever we've been trying so far.
Well, we'll have to see who it is first. So then, yeah, Amasuka defeated LJ Cleary in 7:38 with the Kai Koku. Nothing there.
I mean, the one thing I thought was like, man, this Amasuka guy is really good. They should push him or give him a long title reign.
Nope. Daga defeated Hikaru Sato in 10:23 with Diablo Wings. You know what, Paul? I thought this was solid.
Yeah. Crowd popped pretty big for Hikaru as well.
Yeah. Although, you know, just to job him out, could have you gotten more juice out of this? I don't know.
Yeah, but then you'd I guess maybe don't book him against Dalga, but yeah. Maybe if you want to get a title match out of it, yeah, I guess. But then you're doing a tournament for that already, so you can't do that either. I don't know. I get that wrestling, you know, is predetermined, so, like, actually booking yourself into a corner shouldn't be a thing because, you know, like, you literally write up the results beforehand. But definitely this felt like a thing where it's like, yeah, you booked this match, then Sato kind of has to lose.
And then Eda, Uka Sasaki, healed to Dr. Warriors Jr., and Dragon Bane defeated Hayata, Tadasuke, Anthony Green, and the returning Vinny Massaro in 15:57 with the Shining Triangle from Sasaki on Tadasuke. This is just a fun, you know, 15-minute tag match.
Yep, you couldn't see it, but I was doing the Vinny Massaro hand, the Italian hand.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so a good return for Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I don't know, funny, because there's a picture posted from the Marvelous Dojo where Vinny and who we'll get to next are, and you know who visited them?
Chris Ridgway?
No, Kota Ibushi.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. I mean, yeah. We'll see if something comes out of that. But
so
the biggest part of this match, though, was like Eita doing like a fake mask gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Is that
I have to say, Eita is pretty good at comedy, actually.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's just, I don't know.
It was very weird, and Alka Sasaki kind of wasn't participating in any of that. It was very like, why was he in this match? Like, it almost felt like Eita healed the Dr. Wagner Jr. and Dragon Bane teaming, also featuring Olga Sasaki.
Yeah, exactly. But where there's Vinny Massaro, there's also Titus Alexander in the next match. Kaito Kiyomiya defeated Titus Alexander at 11:30 with his figure four pinfall. This was really good. I mean, it was an 11.5-minute match, but it was like back and forth, big spots, big kickouts, big moves. And then, you know, Alexander was going for the big ugly, and then sort of Kaito like grabs the leg and gets him in a takedown and does that figure four pin, but he's got to stop that because no one's shoulders is ever down properly on that thing.
Yeah,
Titus's work here.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, but otherwise I like the match. Crowd was very happy to see Titus back, and that's definitely guy Noah should like lock down at least a little bit and just have him there basically as regularly as they have Jack Morris, right? Where like Jack Morris mainly works Noah, and like maybe every once in a while he goes back to Europe and does a few shots there, but he's mainly a Noah guy. And I think that's basically what they need to move Titus Alexander to, where it's like, you're mainly doing like long tours in Noah, and then every once in a while you like go home and work like West Coast Pro or whatever. Is he still the champion there? Don't remember.
I don't know who the West Coast.
Let me look if he is. I think it was him or not. Was it? No, he is still the West Coast Pro champ. Oh, okay. Wait, he was that champion, but he actually just won like 2 weeks ago. He won the tag titles, I guess. Unless he's losing these or they're not like running in such a way that he can still defend them, he might not become a same kind of regular anytime soon then.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know, obviously, but, you know.
He should.
He absolutely should.
They like him. Kenta Kobashi booked him on his show and everything, right?
Yeah, he booked, like, not just booked him on the show, he booked him in the main event with, like, a couple of aces.
And then we go to a main event. Keno and Yuji Nagata defeated Manabu Soi and Masa Kitamiya in 1755. The Keno special from Keno on Kitamiya. I thought this is the second best match of the show after the semi-main. It was a lot of fun. I love the fact that it was Nagata that was the hot tag to come to save Keno. And then they did the finish. You know, Kitamiya was in the Keno special, but Nagata had Soya in the armbar. The eyes rolled back and everything. So just a lot of fun. Four great veterans. And four guys that have done a lot of tag team work too.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if, you know, Nagata and them are... Nagata especially showing his age, they still put together something really good here. And then after the match, it looks like Keno and Nagata are going to go after TMDK for the IWGP tag team titles.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly an interesting booking.
Yeah.
It's definitely not something I expected. Did Keno and TMDK ever really interact back when they had the big Nova run? Was he still a junior then? Like, I'm trying to trace the timeline back. I think he was still a junior,
Because this is, what, 2014, 2015?
Yeah, and I think that was... Yeah, I think he was still a junior then, yeah.
Let's see. Oh, here's an interesting match. December 23rd, 2014, Chokibu-gun, Hajime Ohara, and Keno defeat Mitsuhiro Kitamiya and Shane Hayes.
Ooh. Okay, that is very random. Yeah.
So, it's just facing them.
Like a lot, yeah. Matches. Yeah.
Oh, here's a match. August 12th, 2014. Chokibu Gun, Hajime Ohara, Kenno, Maybach Taniguchi, Takeshi Morishima defeat TMDK, Mikey Nichols and Shane Haste, and Yoshinori Ogawa and Zack Sabre Jr.
Ooh.
Now, that was on a SEM show in Shinjuku Face.
I mean, but yeah, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of a history there, basically.
No. No, just, well, let's see. That's 2014. Were they around?
No, they can't. I don't remember when exactly they went to WWE.
Yeah, there's a couple of multi-mans in 2015, but not much.
Yeah, they went to WWE in 2016. So, like, they left, like, the year after.
So, there's not a lot of history. Certainly not much you can make any particularly interesting storyline out of it.
No. So, yeah. I mean, at the very least, it's like, it's a very interesting team, basically, to send after them. I don't think they have a good chance of beating them. Although, who knows, because they didn't even challenge for the main titles, right? They just challenged for, like, the never open weight, like, tag team titles.
No, you mean the Strong?
Oh, Strong open weight. Yeah, sorry.
The
US titles, basically.
Oh, so they didn't challenge for the IWG?
From the way I understood it, it was just for the Strong open weight titles, yeah. Because they do hold both.
Yes, yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, I'm wrong about that. I thought it was the IWG. But it very well could be the Strong.
I mean, yeah, as we just talked about, it's not like the IWGP tag team titles are very prestigious at the moment.
Oh, no, yeah. Well, they just defended them like the Strong ones against Tanahashi and Ishii, and it was just the Strong.
Yeah.
On the
like, road. It seems like they're keeping the title defenses completely separate.
Yeah, which, whatever. So we'll see that goes. Could that be a show? Could that be a match on January 1st if it's just the Strong tag titles? Then?
That's a while away to announce that, though.
Yeah.
Like,
but you got to start.
Yeah, I guess.
Paul, are they going to break 5,000 for this show?
I mean, yeah, bringing Shinsuke Nakamura in again, right? And it has been a while since he's had, like, at that point, it's going to be 2 years since his last match. Yes. Like, time fucking flies.
Yeah.
Because his last match was the match against Muta.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it really depends what they're doing for the JHC title match there. Do think that is going to be important. Like, because just Shinsuke is great. I don't know if Alka is really that much of a draw yet. And I don't know if, like, TMDK versus Yuji Nagata and Kenno is much of a draw. As we just said, like, there's not much of a history. Like, it's not, like, Yuji Nagata and TMDK also don't really have a history. So,
you know, and look, we are big Jack Morris boosters, but this angle especially is not going to make him a credible challenger on January.
No, I don't think that's, it would be very brave to do it. Maybe it'll work out for them. We'll see. I mean, they have lower ticket prices, right? So, which again, actually tells me that CyberFight or Abima, basically, CyberLife or whatever, isn't necessarily really concerned with the money. They're more concerned with the optics of the attendance. So maybe that'll help them draw more people.
Yeah.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
So we'll see where that goes. But I'm not going to start looking at the ticket sales until the show.
Yeah.
Just like the next major show is the Korakuen, and it's just the End Innovation round 2 matches. Matches would start, and we already went over that tournament last show. So let's go to All Japan. I watched the six-man tag team title match from the 25th, because the most recent one hasn't gone up yet. And it was Chihiro Hashimoto, Tsuji Ishikawa, and Yu defeating Dash Chisako, Isami Kodaka, and Yuko Miyamoto in 1339. Yu pinned Miyamoto with a top rope splash. First of all, putting Dash with Yankee 2 Kenju was a stroke of genius. That's a
really fun team.
I thought this was actually a pretty good match. Did you see it, Paul?
Yeah. No, I didn't have time to watch it, but I don't know if I will watch it. It does sound very, very fun. I just know that the result of the next match after that.
Yes, I know. It's a good match. It's not like go out of your way to see, but like I thought it was like actually you and Miyamoto that carried the matches for their
That's not Miyamoto. Who I expected to carry on either side. Yeah.
And obviously Miyamoto also is going to be a bit of an All Japan regular.
Mm-hmm.
Should we talk about the recent results?
What do you mean the recent results?
Like the six-man tag?
Yeah, I mean, we might as well talk about it now, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Because this team is no longer the champion team now.
No. So yesterday, and it takes like a week at least for these things to end up on Hokuto Gun. Cyrus Hokuto Omori and Kumarashi defeated Chihiro Hashimoto, Tsuji Ishikawa, and Yu when Omori pinned Yu with the frog splash.
Yeah, I mean, I do like the result. I think we talked about it originally when it was announced that these guys, that like Hokuto Gun was going to challenge for the belts. They're like, that's the perfect title for them to hold. Right? Like, because they're kind of like mid-card goobers and this is the mid-card goober title. And also that means that finally these titles can be like defended on All Japan shows again. Because it was always weird.
Sort of?
Yeah, like it was all like it's been weird for like the last little while. But like, yeah, the All Japan TV six-man titles are never defended on All Japan shows. Because one of the champions has heat with the promotion. Although that's obviously changed now.
Yeah. But look, you got to do something with Hokuto Gun, and this is the perfect thing, I think.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I'm very curious what some of the teams they're going to be facing. I was thinking that maybe they would face like, I don't know, like Abe and Tachibana and like Jiro. But I guess based on something we'll talk about later, that might not be a team that might be teaming up anytime soon.
Yeah. So moving on to Raising an Army Memorial Series 2024 on October 22nd. At Corken Hall in front of 1,296 fans, which I think is pretty good for a Tuesday show with a first-time challenger.
Yeah, with a guy whose only other like time he was put in a drawing position was in fucking JTO. So
yeah,
and the tournament doesn't like,
count because he was in the semis.
Yeah, and two title matches, which again compared that to what Noah had to do to get to like a similar number.
Yeah. So I did not watch the Actress Time match.
Oh, even you broke.
I try. I just was short on time. I finished.
You can Monday always Magic. Go back and watch it.
Look, I finished Monday Magic just before we record.
Okay, fair enough. So for once it was me that was like finishing 5 minutes before the show.
I watched the six-man tag title match and Monday Magic.
Fair enough.
But I did watch those weekend shows right away.
Oh yeah, same. I was actually like happy. Was like, oh man, it's a day of like it's a day where we record, and I've actually already watched everything I had to. Great, because to look behind the curtain, sometimes that means I still actually have like two shows to watch. Sometimes when we record, but I'm like, okay, and I finish, and I'm like, yeah, Gerard, I definitely want to talk about this match because I watched it 5 minutes ago.
So. The opening match on the show, though, was Taishin Nagao debut match. Ryo Inoue defeated Taishin Nagao in 7-10 while referee stopped with a very brutal-looking crab hold. I mean, I cannot complain. This guy looked really good in his debut.
Yeah. No, I am very... Like, he is obviously going to be a junior, just based
He's
on his size.
Tiny. He's tiny.
He is tiny, tiny. Juniors. Yes.
He might be the smallest guy.
Probably. I mean, it is tall Japan still. Like, even someone like Inoue is actually taller than you think he is.
If you put him if you put him in Noah, he would, like...
Oh, yeah, no, he could... He's a borderline heavyweight in Noah. Like, it's the same with, like, Atsuki Aoyagi, where you're, like, thinking... I was like, oh, yeah, it's Yuma Aoyagi's little brother. And then, Like, I've stood next to Atsuki, and I'm like, yeah, he's not that tiny.
Yeah.
But yeah, this guy definitely is. This guy is going, like, he's going to be junior, and that's not a bad thing, because this promotion needs juniors as well. Like, this promotion needs everything, really. But they also definitely need some depth in the junior division, and this debut was very encouraging. I think there was, I think, one spot that looked a bit iffy, but otherwise, I think he had a very, very solid debut, and I think he showed good fire. And I think there's definitely something there with him.
To me, he got the debuting wrestler triumvirate. He moved around the ring just fine.
Yep.
He had good facial expressions.
Yep.
And he has a great drop kick. That's all you need in your debut match.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, fair. That's actually all you need to do to really be a good young boy. And he did all of those.
And of course, you've still got Tarada to debut once his recover from his concussion. And also, they're doing another tryout in December.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good sign.
Yeah. No, I mean, they need bodies. So
which is funny, because one of the things that Jay said, he was talking about the health of a promotion, is like, are they debuting? Are they regularly... Yep. Initiating and debuting people, and All Japan has done that. In fact, I would argue that they have picked up, because they're doing recruitment every year for the last few years now, which was not always the case.
Yeah,
even just a few years ago. And you know, of course, Dragon Gate's always got like sizable dojo classes.
they just have like, I don't know, they have like some sort of like underground basement where they just like breed these guys in like vats or something. Because it just feels like they have like five people that they're debuting every year. Now, but then again, like half of them make it. So
yeah. Well, let me pivot to this. Do you think the fact that Noah has had, and I say this in relative terms, some, you know, improvement in their dojo turning out in the last couple of years, do you think that augurs well that this is like Cyber Eight, even going larger, is committed to this company?
I do think they are committed to this company.
Yeah.
I mean, as I mentioned earlier, right? Like, Noah lowered the ticket prices.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, you need, like, if you do something like that, you need to get sign off, because it is like, even if you draw more people, it might not mean more money. So you need to get sign off from that, from your owner, basically. And if basically CyberFight is fine with, like, you know, taking a bit of a like financial, like a bit of an additional financial hit for like better looking buildings,
yeah,
that again tells me that like whatever money they're losing on Noah, because they're losing money on Noah, because again, because they don't have a media rights deal, it's very, very hard for Noah to make a profit. I think we need to reiterate that if you're owned by your broadcaster, it is incredibly hard for you as a wrestling promotion, regardless of the country that you're in, to make a profit. Because you don't get those media rights, no matter how small they might be. You just don't get them at all. So it appears that like whatever hit they're taking isn't of such a size to make them concerned. To me, they're more concerned about the optics of like empty buildings. And again, yeah, them turning out people as well is like something that tells me it's like, yeah, they haven't told them yet to like cut back on people. Now, the one thing that might make me a little bit more Well, maybe that we're out of the phase where they're willing to spend big money, at least, is the fact that we know that Nakajima left over money.
And possibly Jake Lee,
and maybe Seki Yoshioka as well.
Yeah. And they have done a turnover in foreigners.
Yeah. Which, like, they're probably paying Thatcher, the new ones less than the old ones.
Thatcher and Huxley
similar. Yeah.
Aren't coming back. I don't think.
No.
Stein Rogers.
No, I mean, yeah, obviously not. Like that like I had actually forgotten about him, to be honest.
And you know, there might be a exodus of some in January.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's also noticeable that it's like less ex-WWE people, right?
Yes.
So,
well, Hideki's gone.
Yeah. So, yes, I mean, that's a factor, but also B, like, I assume, like, the non-former WWE guys, like, minus, like, because I think Anthony Green is, like, the only former WWE guy there.
Yeah.
But, like, I also assume that they're earning less than, like, you would have had to pay, like, a Thatcher to fly to Japan.
Yeah, for sure.
Or a Saxon Huxley, which, you know, like, whatever money you can save there is money well saved.
So, back to All Japan. And our next match was titled Born in Heisei versus Born in Showa. And so we have Seki Yoshioka, Hikaru Saito, and Yuko Miyamoto defeating Musashi, Shotaro Ashino, and Kuroshio Tokyo, Japan in 9-13 with the La Magistral from Yoshioka on Musashi. Solid match.
Yeah.
But really not much else to say about it, although I'm somewhat surprised that Jiro just...
Yeah, like, given what would happen later, maybe they didn't want to tease it, but maybe I would have at least teased it a little bit here. And yeah. I don't think they did that at all. So that was weird.
And then for the Gaora TV title, Seigo Tachibana defeated Fuminori Abe in 10 minutes and 11 seconds with the Yankee Hammer. So Abe failed on his third defense. And then Seigo Tachibana is the 27th champion. Jesus. And
this title has not been... Okay, like, this title has been around for less than 10 years, right?
No, it's been 10 years.
Okay. But still, like... Yeah, that's an average of 2.7 champions per year.
Well, hold up. Let me just see. It's in 2012.
Okay. Yeah, that's a bit more reasonable then, yeah.
In October of 2012. And then, so first champion was Seiya Sanada, who held it for 232 days. And then Rene Dupree won it in May.
And then I think he still holds the defense record because he just defended it against like a boatload of people in Canada.
So. Yeah, he's got seven defenses because several of those are against Rene Dupree in the Maritimes. And like I see here, New Brunswick,
yeah, like a house show loop.
Island. Yeah, yeah. So the Maritimes loop, right? So
look, the people of Prince Edward Island really badly want to see the Gaora TV title.
So look. I mean, it was, a very good match. I still think their first match where Abe won the title was...
Yeah.
And I think that one had a little more time. But again, these guys always deliver.
I would say it's one of the best series of matches so far this year, really. Like, because I don't think I can really call it a feud, but...
But then, well, the man with the jacket...
They actually did it. They actually turned him heel.
And he challenged. And we're going to get that match on the Hokkaido tour. Paul, do you think... Honestly... what do you think is going to happen?
I think he's beating him. I think Jiro is winning. Because I think they might go with like Jiro as like the oblivious heel, basically. Right? Where he's still going to do his full entrance, but everybody's like booing him. Mm-hmm. He's just going to be like, hey. Like, well, you know, he's going to do like the thing where he goes into the crowd and wants to do like the swaying with them, but nobody's going to do it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny to say that because if Jiro was going to... him putting Tachibana on the way out would be...
Yeah, but where is he going to go?
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised. Are you sort of surprised he doesn't get booked a ton of other places? Or do you think All Japan is actually just offering him...
The weird part is when he came back, right? The first place he came back in was DDT.
Yeah.
But then that kind of went nowhere. Like, it's weird because kind of the same thing happened with Yoshitatsu. Where he also popped up in DDT and was like, yeah, I'm going to wrestle here regularly now. And then he's not. And then the same thing happened with Kawakami. it's happened so often over like the last couple of years. It's very weird. It might just be that like, because he was wrestling a bit in Great as well, right? Like he was on the Great show on the 30th of December.
Yeah.
But then he hasn't really worked there really all that much since then.
He last worked in Great in March.
Yeah. And because, I mean, he's obviously not a like All Japan roster member. Because
He works Joshi Promotions more than anywhere else other than All Japan.
That's weird.
He worked Wave on the 11th of October. On the 6th, he was in Tokyo Joshi. Mm-hmm. September 13th, he was at Sendai Girls show, where he faced Sakura Hirota, so it was like a comedy match. He did one Dragon Gate date where he challenged for the Twin Gate titles with Shuji Kondo against Kid Doi.
Okay.
But it's just funny, and he's got like another early, and he worked like June, like Sendai Girls. So it's just funny to me that he's getting these jokes.
Because, yeah, no, to me the thing was like where he's very clearly not a like All Japan roster member is because he has his own merch table.
Yeah.
Which... fun fact, he was actually manning with Seigo Tachibana, so Jiro is now short of like somebody hawking his merch at shows.
So we'll get to when they show their matches a little later when we go over some of the Hokkaido stuff. Japan has finally like finalized some stuff on that tour. So then we go to the Saito brothers versus Omori Gun or Hokuto Gun. Jun Saito, Rei Saito, Mr. Saito, Ryuki Doi, and Senor Saito defeated Hokuto Omori, Kumarashi, Cyrus, and Harley Jackson in 9:45 when Jun pit Omori with the jackhammer, which is kind of funny. No Jack Kennedy because it's school night.
I didn't even realize that. Yeah, he literally has to be a weekend warrior, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Unless it's like, yeah, like a day off from school and he can actually like do something else.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean.
But interesting that Hartley Jackson didn't take the pin though, right? Because he's presumably he's leaving.
He's in New Japan.
Oh, God damn it.
Look, I have to say something. I saw someone say that Hartley Jackson failed up into New Japan. I think that's a little unfair because Hartley Jackson's on the indies because 01 has fallen apart.
Yeah. And, he's a solid worker.
He's a solid worker. He didn't fail up. He's just happens to be Australian and a veteran hand on the indies and a trainer.
Yeah.
Right. And so obviously it was like the TMDK guys that suggested him to get in there. Cause I think, wasn't there an injury or something? Why? He got
yes.
This place.
Yes.
I don't expect to do much in New Japan.
No,
really. So, you know, it's just it's probably a good paycheck for him. From all accounts, he's a nice guy. And, you know, he's grinded hard.
Yeah.
Right.
Because otherwise, like, who is like, right? They have Kosei Fujita or whatever. But, like, otherwise, who is like a fall? Well, yeah, but my thing is,
that was before.
Who's the fall guy?
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of heavyweights, right? You can't drop out Zach. He's literally the champion and, like, the leader of the thing. You don't want to drop out Oiwa because he's clearly the guy they're building up to be the guy next. And you can't also drop out like Nichols or Hayes because they're literally tag team champions. So
yeah,
and Fujita's going to be busy with the Junior Tag League. So yeah, you had to bring somebody in that can take a pin.
Yeah, for sure. So good for him. I mean,
yeah,
that's great. Well, which will get me to my next discussion in a second, because look, this was a brawl. It was fun, but it was not much too a million times before this match. Mm-hmm. But Makoto Oishi came out
wearing yes.
a red leather jacket and a Saito Brothers shirt. So did he join?
They teased him joining, but based on the reactions, I don't think he did.
But he's one of the exes in the Real World Tag League.
Yes.
And Paul, do you know?
Yes.
Now, I got to say, before we get to this name, I did not see this coming. And we had said, oh, this guy would be a great fit for All Japan. Just given up that it was ever going to happen.
No, same. I was like, okay, maybe Noah's going to bring him in because they were just like over in Germany. And maybe like some people from there saw him. And I was like, okay, maybe Noah's going to bring him in then. But nope, it's not.
So Paul, who is it?
Who's the other X? Yeah, the other X is none other than the Belgian war machine, La Machine de Guerre Belgique, Mike DiVecchio, which I am incredibly happy about because I've been tooting this guy's horn for years.
Oh,
and
yes,
he is going to get over so fast.
Right? Oh, of course.
Yes, because you take like a big muscly foreigner that does like absolutely insanely crazy athletic stuff that he should not be able to do. And you put that in front of a Japanese audience and they're just going to gobble that one up just instantly. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, no, more of this guy, please. Like so much more of this guy.
Yep. A strange team.
Yeah, absolutely. The team, I'm like, okay, sure, why not? I also can't really think of a better team to bring Mike D in, but, you know,
no.
Why not?
Here's the thing. Okay, so I did not know this, but Alan Forel told us, like, Oishi speaks fluent English.
Yeah.
So that's a good point, guy, right?
I mean, the question is how good. I don't actually know how good Mike's English is because, you know.
Oh, that's right.
Belgian. He's Wallonian Belgian. So, like, his main language is French.
Right.
So, but still, you know, like, actually, the one person that actually, because we were talking about who might be, like, scouting these people, because. A little bit early as well, they brought in Aya LeBlanc as well. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling that the person...
Nikan Lee?
Exactly. I think Nikan Lee is the like liaison here.
Still? That's interesting.
Yeah, I again, she was just in All Japan for the this year in January why am I blanking literally on his name right now? I was at the fucking show and I have the t-shirt.
Oh, Wada.
No, not Wada. Fuji, yeah. She was just there for the Fuji anniversary show, you know?
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem like whatever hang-ups there were are like super bad. And she was at the WXW weekend as well. Like she was reffing for that too. So clearly she's like the person that like at least somewhat is like dealing with like the Japanese wrestlers coming into Germany or into Europe. So I wouldn't be shocked if that kind of goes the other way as well. Like she was actually at the WXW shows, didn't mention that last time. She was actually at the merch table as well, like selling their shirts and everything. So it definitely seems like, you know, if there's anybody there that is currently kind of like the go-between, it does appear to be her.
Okay. Yeah, that would make the most sense. You know, which also gets me to my second point. If he impresses and I expect him to devote all their like foreigner attention to him.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. If this guy wants to come back, you absolutely bring him back. And if money's a bit of an issue there, then I guess some of the other foreigners just have to go.
Well, that was going to be my next point. I would trade out all the other ones except for Jack and bring in Mike D.
Yeah. No, I mean, with Jack, I mean, he literally lives there, so that's a lot easier. But
and it's also, I think he's got something. And he speaks Japanese.
Yeah. Because as much as I've enjoyed Cyrus overall, if I have to pick between Cyrus and Mike D, like, I'm sorry, I just have to pick him. I just have to pick Mike DiVecchio.
Yeah, exactly. And also Smith's there till maybe January.
Oh, yeah, and absolutely over Davey Boy Smith, because whatever they're paying him, they can get Mike D for probably significantly less and get significant as much again as I've enjoyed Davey Boy Smith. Again, there's just much more there with the just younger, fresher, more athletic guy.
Yeah, for sure. So then we had Ken Umehara, Davey Boy Smith Jr., Dan Tamara defeating Rising Hayato, Yuma Anzai, and Ryuki Honda at 11:39 with the Bulldog Bomb from Smith on Anzai. What do you think?
I was surprised with the result.
That makes sense.
I think it's the match. Well, it's less which team won. It's more that Anzai took the pin.
Mm.
I thought the match itself overall was pretty solid.
Yeah.
Just, you know, like I think Alpida has actually found like really good chemistry with each other now. Like I think they're really like getting there. Because early on, it just kind of felt like the company mandated these guys team together. Whereas now it actually feels like more like natural. And I think Kento and Davey Boy are like a really good team together.
Yeah,
I think they gel pretty well. Dan, I think, was the one sticking out a bit. Like he felt a little bit out of place. But it also seems like Kento is getting another person that he is going to be like be associated with going forward as well, which is not Dan, but a junior.
I don't really have any issue with Anzai taking it. It's fine.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not like I have a major issue with it. I was just surprised because it's simply because Yuma Anzai doesn't take many pins. It was more my argument. Like, I don't think it was bad or anything like that. It's just they have been incredibly protective of him, you know, up to this point. And rightfully so, because it's obviously worked.
No, I mean, if Smith's got his match here coming up in a week or two for the Triple Crown, spoiler alert.
Yep.
You know, he could put over Anzai in a singles match on the way out too in like on December, which I could post.
Actually, yeah, you know what? You're right. Yeah. Because I was also thinking about, okay, what's Anzai going to do for that show, which might be like an All Asia tag title defense.
I'm going to be honest. I want to see that match because I think they work really well together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, like, because that's like the kind of guy that I think Davey Boy like just vibes really well with, because Anzai is also in some ways a lot more like old school almost, right?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, no, I actually would like to see that as well. That's like a proper big time, not big time, but like at least a somewhat featured match, and then Anzai gets his win back. I mean, not even just on like the 31st, but you could also do that in the like, because if he's already there for the 31st, right? Like he's gonna be there for the new, like even if his contract is over by then, he's gonna be around for like the New Year's shows as well.
Yeah. So Suwama debut 20th anniversary match. So Suwama started teasing on social media that it was going to be a handicap match a few days before the show.
It kind of was, though.
And if you heard the commentators even said it before somebody's...
Which was the expected one.
Yeah. But then the music hit and it was Shuji Ishikawa.
The least surprising ex ever.
Huge pop.
Yes.
You know, this match was, I thought, solid, but then they had, like, everyone, all the mid-card run in to, like, do running moves in the corner to Suwama, and then Hideki pinned him after a double-arm suplex right after that.
Yeah. Which, that was very weird. Yeah. Weird. I mean, it was his anniversary, but...
Yeah. And then Suwama got flowers from Fuchi, and then we got video messages from Muto and Tenryu.
I mean, that was a little nice touch.
Yeah. And then Suwama City do something in his hometown, which
I just remembered.
Yeah. Market.
Yeah. Oh yes. Hopefully, we'll give like a big slap of meat to the Saitos again.
And then,
we forgot something, which is after the prior match, Ryo Inoue came out.
Oh yes.
And he like tore up like a picture of Yuma Anzai, and like aligned himself with like Kento Miyahara. So it does seem like we're building. Like some sort of like Kento faction there that might be like going against, like that might be feuding with Alpida.
Yeah, seems that way.
What's the, is the name just going to be Next Stream again?
That would be funny. And then in the main event for the Triple Crown, Yuma Aoyagi defeated Ren Ayabi in 29:07 with the Fool to make a second defense of title. Okay, first of all, the pre-match video for this was great.
Oh yeah, that was so awesome.
Second of all, Yuma came out with the original three belts. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if they were the actual original three belts, but he came out with the three belts.
Which is always cool when somebody does that.
Because I thought they were pretty shiny, given their age.
I mean, they've probably been in storage for a bit, so you can probably like shine them up, as opposed to like the other one that you need to like lug around to every show.
I mean, those world tag titles look...
Oh, God, yeah. Who was... Oh, yeah, right, when Kenno and Sawyer won it. And Kenno on his YouTube channel like was like, look at these shitty looking belts.
But I don't know, Paul, is this a permanent thing?
I don't know. Like, it's not like he's the first guy that's done it, right?
Because in the video, he's like in that room, DJ, and then he just leaves the belt there. And then he's like, oh, you forgot your belt. But then he comes out with three.
I mean, maybe... grown it, like, I think it's cool to bring out the original three, right?
No, you gotta have
grown it. I've grown attached to, like, you know, the single belt too, though. So I don't know. If it's a permanent thing, cool. Kind of, I don't know. Like, you know, like, it's not a reasonable thing. Like, it's just, I don't know. I like the belt that they had. You know.
So the match, okay. So it was pretty good. Went a little too long. I think as a whole, I liked the Royal Road Finals match a little better. But I got to say, I thought Yuma's performance here was way better than his last couple of Triple Crown matches.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, whatever he was doing different, it definitely worked a lot better here.
Yeah.
Like, it definitely felt a little less, like, fillery, basically.
More lively.
Yeah. Yeah. Something that I've been thinking about actually recently was... Maybe one of the reasons or something that weighed on him was like the fact that obviously like Yuma Anzai has just kind of like basically just like been like ferried on like the expressway right past him, right?
Yeah.
Where he maybe felt like, okay, it's Kento's time now. It used to be Kento's time. Now it's going to be my time. And then it's going to be basically we come out of the Kento era. We are in the Yuma Aoyagi era. And then we're going into the Yuma Anzai era, whereas the promotion is like, nah, we're going from the Kento era straight to the Yuma Anzai era. So, but maybe now that he's like done a second defense and now maybe he's like becoming a little bit more comfortable as well. So I don't know. But it definitely seemed whatever maybe was plaguing him before wasn't plaguing him in this match.
Yeah. But do you not think it went too little too long?
I don't think so. I don't know. Like, normally I would also maybe say, like, yeah, like, nearly 30 minutes. But I don't know. When I watched the match, I never really got that feeling where I'm like, oh, this is kind of starting to drag. Like I enjoyed it really well. I think Ren really like stepped up his game for this as well. Like it was very obvious. Like same with the Royal Road final, right? Like where in that match it was very obvious that Ren Ayabe knew this is a spot that he needs to deliver in, that he needs to like step up his game. And I think he stepped up his game in this match as well. Like I think he showed some pretty good instincts for some stuff. Like there are times when he still looks awkward, but I know I'm doing this too much, but it's like it is just so obvious to just draw the comparisons to Tawei, you know?
Yeah.
With Tawei, it also never really fully went away, where he just kind of just looked awkward at times, because I think that's just the way both of their bodies work, because they're that tall, and that's it. Like it's just going to be a thing. I think that's kind of where I landed on with Ren, where like he's never going to be like as smooth or crisp as like either of the Yumas or Kento, you know. It's just he's just going to, or like even Honda, he's just going to be a little bit awkward at times because that's just kind of what he is like. And I think it's kind of harsh to hold that against him. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think everything else I saw from him in this match was really good. Like I think he showed a lot more fire. I think his psychology was pretty good. Like when they did that count out spot and he kind of very credibly teased getting counted out and all of that stuff. So I definitely think there's still like he still has a bit of a way to go, but like after this performance, I'm like, no, I do think eventually he will get there. I think eventually he will fully figure it out. But even when he's fully figured it out, there are still going to be times where he just will look awkward because he's just a lanky tall guys, and sometimes lanky tall guys, no matter how good they are, will just look awkward. I mean, hell, fucking Giant Baba at times looked awkward, and that's probably the best lanky tall guy ever. Not probably, that is the best lanky tall guy ever.
So, and then after the match, David Boy Smith Jr. came out, cut an awful promo.
I don't think it was as bad as the like Jack Morris, you people promo, though.
Yeah, yeah. And then Yuma responded in English. He's like, okay. And then he called himself the People's Yuma. And All Japan Jesus.
Yes. Which, if you probably started the episode, you saw was the episode title.
Yeah. That was easy one to come up with.
Sure. Yes.
I should have figured out that Aoyaki was more of a rock fan.
Yeah. Well, it's weird, right? Given his theme song.
Yeah, that too. So from there, we've got the Hokkaido tour coming up, which starts on October 27th. So they start in Sapporo, and then they end in Sapporo on the 4th. So on this weekend, on the 27th, so we've got Yuma Aoyagi versus Taishin Nagao in the opening match. So that should be a lot of fun. We're in Hokkaido. So, of course, we're going to get some Kumagoro Hokai, a.k.a. Brute Yusei. And so we've got Kumagoro Hokai versus Tomoya versus Sego in a three-way. We've got Jiro and Shitaro Ishino versus Musashi and Seki Yoshioka. And we've got Rio Inoue.
Ooh, stay together as a team because they kind of teased breaking up and then they got back together on the show.
Yeah. We got Rio Inoue versus Yuma Anzai.
Yeah, that should be really fun, especially like the way they set that up as well, where Anzai, I think, is going to be fired up about Inoue basically shit-talking him.
Yeah. We've got the rest of Alpida, Hayato, Honda, and Ayabe versus whatever this new Kento faction is again, because we've got Kento, Dan, and Smith. Semi-main event is Hokuto and Kuma Arashi versus Suwama and Hideki.
Sure.
I assume Suwama and Hideki will win, but you never know. I could see communication there. And then the main event is for the World Tag Team titles, and it's the Saitos versus Cyrus and Hartley Jackson. And then on the 20th,
I fully expect the Saitos to retain. Like, I don't think.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with Hartley going to New Japan.
Yeah. I don't think Hartley's necessarily leaving. I think because it's not a full time gig. We'll see what happens.
You still don't want to put like your titles on the guy like that, you know.
We got another three way Noriyuki Yoshida versus Reiki Honda versus Cyrus, Hokuto Omori, and Kuma Arashi versus Shitaro Ishino and Hideki Suzuki. Sleeper match, perhaps.
Yeah.
We've got Kento, Rio Inoue, and Musashi versus Hayato, Anzai, and Ayabe. We've got Sego and Jiro versus the Saitos.
Yeah, that almost feels like I mean, obviously, like, I feel like Sago's just gonna, Giro's just gonna turn on Sago, right?
Yeah, perhaps.
Like, because, like, again, he already turned on him, like, so if they team it together, I don't know, that's, I have to say, that's kind of WWE booking. I'm not going to lie. That's like US booking.
For sure.
It's like, can they coexist?
Yep. And then they turn in. And then we've got, for the PWF World Junior title, we've got Naruki Doi versus Seki Yoshioka. Damn. Come on.
Oh, yeah. That one's going to. Also, again, Strong Hearts versus a Dragon Gate champion.
Yes. That's funny. And then in the main event, we got Smith and Dan Tamura versus Yuma Aoyagi and Suwama. I feel like, is Smith just going to pin Yuma Aoyagi? Because I feel like Dan is too obvious to take a pin that they're not going to
do. Yeah, because I also don't know if they're going to put the title on Smith.
They're not.
Yeah.
I would hope not. I don't think it would be.
I don't think it would be. Yeah, it's not a disaster. It's just kind of, if you don't want to worsen Yuma Aoyagi's anxieties, you might not want to do that.
Yeah, for sure. And then on the 29th, we've got Renai Abe versus Taishin Nagao. Another three-way with Kuma, Rashi, Shitara, Shino, Ryuki, Honda. We've got Yuma Aoyagi and Noriyuki Yoshida versus Musashi and Seki Yoshioka, which I feel like could be a bit of a sleeper. We've got Dan Tamura and Davey Boy Smith versus Hokuto and Cyrus. And then also, we got the Gayora TV title match here. Cyrus versus Sego Tachi, or sorry, Jiro to Sego Tachibana.
Yeah.
Keep forgetting that. Here's a funny one, because they're calling this one a road to the world's real world tag league. We got the Saitos versus Suwama and Hideki.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's kind of a weird one to book prior to the tournament.
Yeah. And then main event for the All Asia tag titles, Kento and Ryo Inoue versus Rising Hado and Yuma Anzai.
Yeah, that should be sick.
Then on October 30th, we've got Ryuki Honda versus Ryo Inoue, Noriyuki Yoshida versus Dan Tamura, Hokuto Mori and Kumarashi versus Shotaro Ashino and Sego.
We've got I think that's the first time we're mentioning Ashino on the entire tour.
No, he's on the other tour, but all in mid-card. Okay. Davey Boy Smith Jr., Kuroshio, Tokyo, Japan versus Cyrus in the three-way. Musashi and Seki Yoshioka versus Suwama and Hideki. We've got the Saitos versus Kumagora Hokai and Andreze the Giant Panda.
I mean, hey, that should be funny.
Yeah. And the main event, because this apparently is Taishin Nagao's hometown, we've got Rising Hado, Renai Abe, Yuma Anzai versus Kento Miyahara, Yuma Aoyagi, and Taishin Nagao. That's a huge spot.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially for a guy that just debuted.
Yeah. That's so funny, though. So
I mean, hey, like, I don't think we have many complaints of, like, the way All Japan has been handling the young guys. So,
they're
continuing that trend.
So, and then we got on November 1st, we got Kumagora Hokai versus Kuma Arashi. We got Ryo Inoue, Jiro and Sego versus Shotaro Ashino, Dan Tamura and Noriyuki Yoshida. Yuma Aoyagi and Suwama versus Hokuto and Cyrus. Jun Saito and Rei Saito versus Hideki Suzuki and Hikaru Saito. Ryuki Honda and Renai Abe versus Musashi and Seki Yoshioka. And Kento Miyahara, Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Rising Hayato and Yuma Anzai. I don't know, Paul, how I'm going to keep up with all of these shows day after day after
day. Yeah, no, that this is going to be rough. Yeah. The one thing I'm wondering about is, like, does Kuma Arashi still have his Kumagoro gear? Because otherwise he could do, like, Kumagoro versus Kumagoro Hokai. But
yeah.
I don't even know how many people still remember that Kuma Arashi was originally Kumagoro back in Wrestle 1, because that's been a while.
We've got, so this is November 2nd, and this is the Saitos versus Seki Yoshioka and Ryo Inoue, Rising Hayato versus, and Yuma Anzai versus Musashi and Taishin Nagao, Yuma Aoyagi and Hikaru Sato versus Kento Miyahara and Davey Boy Smith Jr., Shotaro Ashino and Dan Tamura versus Ryuki Honda and Renai Abe. That should be good. Got Noriyuki Yoshida versus Sego Tachibana. That's a sleeper, I think. Yoshida's
interesting. Yeah,
I think is a nice little worker. Suwama Hideki and Hideki Suzuki and Kumarashi versus Hokuto Omori. No, sorry, Kumagoro Hokai, Hideki Suzuki and Suwama versus Hokuto Omori, Kuma Arashi and Cyrus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the second. And then the third. This is a long
tweet. I remember when I looked at the website, I'm like, oh my God, there's so many.
They only have match the next week. Final match orders through the 30th, though. So any show after the 30th, I don't have the actual match order yet. So this is the second last show of the tour on May 3rd. In Mikasa, we got Shigetaro Shino, Dan Tamura, and Noriyuki Yoshida versus Hokuto Omori, Kumarashi and Cyrus, Ryuki Honda and Ren Ayabe versus Hideki Suzuki and Hikaru Sato, Yuma Aoyagi versus Rising Hayato versus Ryo Inoue. We have Taishin Nagao versus Yuma Anzai.
Ooh, actually, that one I'm curious because it's the first time Anzai is technically wrestling somebody that has been in the business less time than him, which is incredibly weird to think about. That this former Triple Crown champion is for the first time wrestling somebody that has wrestled less time than him.
We have Kento Miyahara and Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Musashi and Seki Yoshioka. And then on the final show on the tour, it is back to Hokkaido, where it is Yuma Aoyagi versus Davey Boy Smith Jr. for the Triple Crown, Hikaru Sato and Suwama versus Musashi and Seki Yoshioka, Jun Sato and Rei Sato versus Ryuki Honda and Ren Ayabe. Watch out for that one.
Oh, yeah.
Rei Hado and Yuma Anzai versus Kuroshi of Tokyo, Japan, and Sego Tachibana. We got a Hokkaido Rumble 2024, Paul.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
But I haven't announced who's going to. I mean, I assume just everybody on the show is going to be on.
So far, Hokuto Omori, Hideki Suzuki, Kumagoro Hokai, Noriyuki Yoshida, Tomoya, and Taishi Nagao. Maybe there's more. I don't know. And then Kento Miyahara and Ryo Inoue versus Shotaro Shino and Dan Tamura. So, I mean, it's a bit of repetitiveness, but I mean, generally solid, I'd say. Mm-hmm. But I might have to pick and choose what we want.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to go in depth over every single match on this tour because we will legitimately be here for 3 hours on that. That's not even talking about like any Noah stuff or like anything else that like basically like got our interest over that time period.
So you know, we'll be back to definitely talk about those shows in a couple of weeks. Paul, any closing thoughts?
Just something that kind of like sprung my mind about like the whole like Jiro is Tachibana thing or like Jiro turning heel. What if he's joining Hokutogon and like started teaming with Cyrus?
That would be so funny.
Yeah, because again, right, they've been doing the gimmick of like Cyrus tormenting Jiro, so it would make sense that if they're both heels, that they actually start teaming.
For sure. And I don't know.
He fits that mid-card goober. He fits the mid-card goober vibe of Hokutogon perfect.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of his gimmick is as a face, and that's like a part of like selling his stuff and making money. So I don't know.
He definitely was a heel though when he attacked like Sego. The crowd booed him accordingly.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, I could see that. You got to do something. Well, I mean, look, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm split. Like, would I rather not see Jiro or have him do split? that's the eternal question, I suppose. But I feel like that they are doing something possible with this character. So we'll know. And it certainly will know, like, in the next couple of weeks, because I'm sure whatever's going to, if they're doing something, it's going to happen on this tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say, I don't know. I feel like slightly better about Noah than I did a couple weeks ago, even though those couple of those shows were a slog. But I enjoyed Limit Break and Monday Magic.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But I could see them like just driving me crazy with this build to Budokan on New Year's.
I will say their December this year can only be better than their December last year. Because to me, that was by far and away the worst thing the company has done in years. Because I think we were very close to just throwing Noah off the shows. That's how bad the December was. Because we're like, I can't watch this anymore. This is so boring.
And All Japan is, I mean, they're good. I still think they need a little more depth. But, you know, they're in the right direction.
Yeah. And to me, that getting depth in the right way, which is like bringing up trainees rather than.
I still just don't know what the main event of December 31st is going to be.
Yeah, I have no idea where they're going with that one. But then again, we also didn't really have an idea with where they were going to go for that until they brought in Nakajima last year. So it's not like,
well,
you know.
as soon as Nakajima left Noah, though, that thought entered my mind, though.
Yes. Right? Whereas, yeah, there's nothing like that right now.
The only options to me are Kento versus Yuma with some sort of stipulation where Kento vows to leave the company or never challenge for the Triple Crown again.
Yeah.
Or Anzai.
Anzai versus Yuma. Anzai versus Aoya. Oh, God. This will never get easier. Yuma versus Yuma. Yuma. Yeah.
Because there's nothing else unless it's like a big name outsider, right?
Yeah. Which I don't even know who would be there because it's not going to be like... It also doesn't fit like what the promotion has been doing. Like minus the Nakajima thing where like there was like a storyline reason, whereas that same guy doesn't really exist right now unless you literally bring back Nakajima, and I don't think that's likely.
They should, but that's just why
they should. Yeah, but again, I get why they won't.
All right, well, with that, we will see you in a couple of weeks, so take care and enjoy all the wrestling out there. Bye.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.